Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
It's 307 on KDKA as we welcome into the program a voice that you certainly will recognize, Bill Rakoff. As a matter of fact, held this position for some time on the venerable 1020 and now joins us from his new home away from home, which was his home anyway, from Baltimore, talking about the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse. Bill, thank you very much for being with us today. I am certain it has been a whirlwind of a day already. When did you hear about what had happened overnight?
When my alarm went off this morning, Rick, and thanks for having me, by the way, went off at about just before 6 o'clock, like it usually does. And the very first thing I saw was a note from a coworker at where I teach now at the Defense Information School here at Fort Meade saying, you know, if you're planning on coming in the Key Bridge, you know, it collapsed. And I thought, well, it couldn't be, right? And So I went onto social media, and sure enough, and man, I was like everybody else around here, transfixed to the radio and TV for the next couple of hours.
You are in a different position now as somebody who is teaching rather than being on the other side of the microphone, where you would have had a phone call at 1:30 last night, right? I mean, based on where you are in the business that you are in, I mean, it would have been all hands on deck. What has the coverage been like in Baltimore, and what can you tell us at this hour?
Well, we just got done listening to, and I am doing a little bit of freelancing, shall we say. So It's like I've been involved in the story today. We just got done listening to the National Transportation Safety Board Chair, Jennifer Homendy. And while she really couldn't give us a whole lot in the way of detail about what happened, she did confirm that the investigation is underway, that they have the reports that the ship may have lost power, or lost propulsion and control of the ship shortly before it struck the bridge, that they did call a mayday. That backs up something Governor Wes Moore said earlier today, that said that Maryland Transportation Authority police were able to get out, having heard that mayday call, and at least slow down, if not stop, the traffic from going over the bridge, which could have prevented a much greater catastrophe. She also did confirm reports that there was a contracted construction crew on the bridge. We understand they were filling potholes at the time of the incident this morning, and that there are at least six people still missing, and the search is continuing. She again termed it an active search and rescue mission. So what they've said is they're sort of taking a step back and letting the search and rescue process continue right now at this hour. And then when appropriate, then they'll start coming in from the investigative side, board the ship, start talking to people, that sort of thing.
You have spent a lot of time in and around fire service, EMT, paramedics, rescue units, and things like that. Can you ever be prepared for an event of this magnitude?
So there's such a thing as being prepared, being ready for it, but then putting it into practice is sometimes another thing entirely.
You can't practice something like this, right?
You can prepare for eventualities, but you can't prepare for specificity.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
Right.
I don't know that anybody ever prepared for a scenario in which the entire Key Bridge, all mile and a half of it, or at least the center span of it, was going to collapse into the Patapsco River. Rick, I kept my boat on Bear Creek right next to the bridge. I went over that bridge every day, twice for a year. Never, ever did I think, going over or under it, that that bridge would ever come down because something hit it. There are concrete bumpers that are around the piers that somehow this ship managed to miss and hit the pier. So to answer your question, sure, they game plan this stuff out. They have the responses laid out. And from everything we've heard, it sounded like it was a textbook multi-agency response between Baltimore City, Baltimore County, state and federal assets. And they all did the things that they were supposed to do That's where you take your comfort. You let your training kick in, and then you take the scenario as it evolves, and that's what they're doing here today.
Visiting with Bill Rakoff, who was here at KDKA, went on to CBS, now doing some work with the military in terms of training those people. You talk about those bumpers, Bill, and if you think about a snooker table, I mean, it literally looks almost like the pylons on a snooker table. I mean, they don't have the bumpers around the edges, but basically they're lined up where the stanchions are, right? That you would think you can't possibly hit one of the stanchions unless you hit one of the bumpers first, but the angle that this particular craft was coming in missed the bumper, hit the pylon, and basically brought the bridge down. It's hard for people, I think, in Pittsburgh to say, okay, how big is this ship? Because we are talking about ocean-going vessels there as opposed to those that are up and down through the locks here in Pittsburgh. Help us from a navigation standpoint to understand the massive size of these container ships.
They are massive, Rick. These things are about the length of three football fields. In this case, this one came in just shy of 1,000 foot long. It is also about almost 50 yards wide. So the width or the length of a football field on the width of the ship. So that gives you an idea. And then there's the sheer height of it. You've got those shipping containers that you've seen in the video that are stacked 8 high. But don't forget, below the deck line, there are more of those shipping containers. So this thing, empty, weighs close to 100,000 tons. Then add all of that weight. You can't stop it on a dime. And yes, those stanchions, they look puny from the air, from the aerial coverage you've no doubt seen. But when you're down next to it in the boat like I've been, they are significant things. And it just boggles the mind that this ship somehow managed to miss those things and hit the pier. It just is a massive, massive ship. And let me point this out, Rick, very quickly. And I said this to Larry this morning when I was talking. This is going to have a significant impact on the Port of Baltimore operations because right now no ship can get in or out of the Port of Baltimore because of this incident that happened right in the middle of the shipping lane. And it could be weeks before shipping resumes to normal.
And that is a key point for the Atlantic seaboard and up and down. I mean, obviously New York and there are other places, Norfolk, et cetera, where they can get in and out. But Baltimore is really close to Pittsburgh and it could impact as far away as here pretty easily, couldn't it?
There is intermodal transportation that, you know, you see in the rails and the there are a lot of things that get shipped out of Baltimore. I think of the amount of new cars that enter the country through the Port of Baltimore that are shipped out across the country, that's going to be impacted. Now, we understand that ports like Norfolk and New York and New Jersey may be able to absorb some of the load. But, you know, here in this area, what people are worried about are they're worried about their jobs because right. directly or indirectly, we're talking about thousands of people's livelihoods that could be at stake here in the short term and maybe longer if they don't get this thing resolved. And one thing I'll point out, by the way, in terms of the investigation, Jennifer Homendy made reference to the Fern Hollow Bridge in her press conference just a couple of minutes ago, saying, you know, putting it in the context that it is going to take a while to investigate this incident because sifting through all the documents, all the inspections, everything that has to be gone through in order to come up with a full report on this, she cited the fact that it took in the Fern Hollow case a couple of years to get all the paperwork that they needed to do a report. So this is not going to be a quick process by any stretch of the imagination, even though the president promised that he would move heaven and earth to try to get this bridge rebuilt as quickly as possible.
We just literally got the final report on the Fern Hollow Bridge here within the last 10 days, and that happened in 2022. So it is a long, drawn-out process at this point. Bill Rakoff, kind enough to join us from Baltimore today on the day that the Key Bridge came down in Baltimore after a massive ship hit it today, that cargo ship, dropping at least 8 people into the water. 2 of them, we understand, rescued. 6, they are still searching for at this hour. Bill, it's good to hear your voice. And are you going to be watching the Pirates and the Orioles play when they come to town here shortly?
You know, I will be watching, and the Pirates are going to be just down the road against the Nationals. So on a happier note, I might actually get down to see the Buccos for a couple of games here next week. I'm looking forward to it. You can take the boy out of Pittsburgh, Rick, but you know the rest.
No, absolutely. Go Bucs, right?
Absolutely.
All right, Bill, thank you very much for being here.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time, baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.